Okay, we are on Bavim Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph 13a, right at the top. We are in the middle of a discussion, and the Mishnah is talking about whether or not you can use a shtar, meaning a loan document that was found after being lost. And we had said in the Mishnah originally that it depends if it has, you know, a lien on it. That if it had a lien, you don't give it back. And if it didn't have a lien, you don't give it back because the Beis Din would still use it, and maybe it's a false document. But if there's no lien on it, a piece of land connected to it, so then you give it back because the Beis Din is not going to use it anyway. And then the Chachamim say you never give it back because Beis Din is going to use it. Then the Gemara says, why aren't we worried about every shtar that ever comes in front of us that it might be a problem? And then we said because it's lost, it has a greater, you know, a greater probability that it's also not, you know, properly done since the person's not taking care of it, that kind of thing. And then we asked the question: what about the Mishnah, which says that we allow a borrower to write a shtar even if the malva's not there? And then we answered that the only time we say that you could do that is by shtar hakna. Shtar hakna is basically saying that the lova is willing to pay no matter what, and it's not really about the date and when we can mix up with the dates of the other. Was it other third parties that have to get paid from the lien property, something like that? So it was ihachi. If that's the case, if every shtar halva that's not just a shtar hakna, we're worried maybe. That maybe that borrower, the details are going to be misleading or mistakenly done, or nefariously done, I guess. And that's why we do not write a loan document without the lender also there. So then mas nisin de katani im yesh ben achrayis nechasim lo yachzir vil kimna kishachayev moda. When our Mishnah says that we will not return a document because we know it'll be used if it has lien property on it, because it has lien property on it, so you're not giving it back, and we established that was referring to a time where the loveh, the borrower, admits that he has to pay. U'mishum shem akasav lilvos penisam lo lovad tishrei v'asu l'mitraf lakuchal shlo kadin. And then the lender, right? Remind me of the situation here. The date on the shtar says Nisan, but the date that he actually did the lending was in Tishrei, and if we give back the shtar, so then the lender is going to collect from other customers that he had sold things to in that in-between stage. Let's say in Tammuz, he sold something, but now he's going to take it back because he's going to say that they were lien property.
The date is the Tishrei preceding the date is the Nisan preceding the Tishrei. When the money is extended. It's not the following Nisan.
What?
In other words, he dates it earlier than he actually hands over the money.
Correct. The actual money was only lent on Tishrei when the document says Nisan.
The previous Nisan.
Right, which basically says that he would be collecting from lands that were sold unjustifiably. Let's say, I think this is the case, correct me if I'm wrong, the borrower had sold lands to a third party, and now the lender is going to that third party and saying, hey, at the time that he sold you this piece of land, he already owed me money. And the truth is that he never owed him money because the document might say that he owed him money since it was written in Nisan, but he didn't actually lend any money until Tishrei, and therefore he's going to be unjustifiably taking the land. So then if that's the case, amai lo yachzer, why would you not give back the document? Nechzi ibishtar hakna. Well, why don't we check that the shtar could be a shtar hakna, meaning one that the borrower basically said, I'll pay back whenever. Yeah, even if there wasn't yet an actual transference of money. So Gemara says, Hashabdilinafshe. He already gave, he already committed to paying it back already at the time that he wrote the shtar. So Ibishtar the Lav Hakna. If you're gonna tell me that it was a shtar without that same commitment, Leko Mechash, then there's no concern because, basically Manafshach. Zaha Amart ki Leka Malva Bahade Lokasfina. The shtar would have never been written if the lender wasn't there for a shtar halva. So you would never have read the shtar. Amar lach ravasi afa gav tishtari delav hakna kileka malve bahade lokasfinan. Even though we would never write a shtar which is not a hakna shtar, meaning one he committed to already before getting the money. We would never write one of those without the malva there. Mas nisin, our Mishnah, kevin denatval itrele v'chayshin and delma ikri v'kasef, that because it is a lost shtar, which should not be lost in the first place, right? You don't want people to lose their shtars. In which case, if we find a shtar, we're already worried about the fact that maybe it's not being done properly, and maybe it was written also improperly. It was predated without the malva being there, and not shtar hakda. Okay, Abaye Amar Eidav Bachasuma of Zachimlo. When there are witnesses with their signatures, so then we will. What is this? Confirm the legitimacy of the shtar halva, even if the malva is not there. Afilu shtari delav hakna. Even non-shtar haknas.
The witnesses by their signatures acquire a lien for its recipient at the moment they sign the note. Thus, even if the actual loan transaction is made only at a later date, the lien has already taken effect earlier.
Right. Basically, the witnesses overcome that concern, even though it could still happen. Mishum dekashale, kevin to amar bishtar lav hakna, kile samav abhade lak svinan, lek lamecha tikri kasef. You don't have to worry that maybe... you don't have to worry that maybe it was written in this problematic way, even though it might be. Because we write a regular shtar even without the malva there when there are witnesses. And even without it ever being loaned in the first place. Ella hazit nan matzakite nashim shichur avdin daitiki. Daitiki is a specific kind of shtar, like a will or something. Matana v'shovrim, or a shtar for a gift, or shovar, which is a receipt that a loan is paid off. Maybe they were written and then they were never actually given over. So if they were never given over, so what's the difference? These kinds of documents always have witnesses, and therefore the witnesses are basically they subjugate you to whatever's on the shtar. That's only if the shtar gets to the person it was written for. And then it sort of basically retroactively assume that that's when you are obligated. But if it never actually got to the other person's hand, so then we wouldn't make that claim. We wouldn't say that the timing is retroactive. So Alamas Nisin. Right? So Bish, let's say our Mishnah was talking about a case of Shtar Hakna where the person obligated himself even without having ever getting the money yet. So then we can establish this Mishnah of Yud Ches Amud Aleph of Matzah Gitei Nashim Shechurer HaAvadim, we can say that that's talking about a case where it was not a Shtar Hakna, and that's why you don't give it back, because we're worried that it was written improperly. It was never given to the actual person, in which case it never took hold. V'chuchad HaAmrinan. The loan was never actually made, or the gift was never actually given, or whatever, it was something wasn't paid back, so you can't give the receipt. So Elo Abaye, but according to Abaye, the Amar Edav Chasum Zachnlo, that if it has witnesses on it, then it's good enough, and you already subjugated yourself to it. So Ma'ik Lamemar. So Amar Chabaye, Masnis and Hainu Taima. The reason for our Mishnah is because of this. We're worried that the thing was already paid off. And therefore,
and the debtor's admission to the contrary is part of a conspiracy between the debtor and the creditor to defraud the owners of properties against which the creditor has a lien.
I feel like that should
be the debt again.
I feel like that should be in the words. I guess that's what the word kanunya means.
Well, that's what I have in my note also.
It's the word kanunya. I don't know what the word very well.
The borrower may have dropped the document because he had already paid the debt, but he may subsequently have conspired with the lender to exact payment from the purchasers of the borrower's
right.
land.
They're trying to extract land from somebody else.
Yeah. Sharing the spoil.
So kanunya is some kind of like conspiracy word.
Sometimes the writers of the Gemara are very naive about human nature, and sometimes they're super cynical about
Yeah, right, right. Like the Miko case from last week. It's like, oh, they know that you'll believe them if you say a different one, so then they're going to say it. But then other times, it's like, oh, yeah, we believe Miko.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I'm sorry, so what did you want to know?
So kanunya, I think, is like a conspiracy. How do they translate kanunya?
Collusion.
Okay.
There was no collusion.
And according to Shmuel, who says there was no payback, it wasn't paid off yet. And there wasn't collusion. So my Yiklamim, according to Shmuel, who says that you give back a Shtar Hakna, so then why aren't you worried about this? Hanicha Yisavarle Kerev Asi to Amar B'Shtar Hakna. It makes sense according to if he's going within Ravashi, or if Shmuel is going within Ravashi, that is a Shtar Hakna, and it doesn't matter what kind of document it is. He's already obligated himself without actually getting the money yet. And therefore, the Shtar happens already from beforehand. The obligation happens already from beforehand. So, Moki Mas Nisin B'Shtar Yilav Hakna. Therefore, this Mishnah is talking about, not our Mishnah, but the Mishnah from before of Yud Ches Amud Aleph, which is actually whatever. After the one he's talking about, Shmuel, so that we can say that Mishnah is talking about a shtar which is not hakna, and therefore we have to be worried about it. But if you also kabai to Amar edv chasim zachin lo ma yuklamemar. So what does Shmuel say about a similar question? So come out to Shmuel k'mok masisin she'en chayv moda. Shmuel says that Mishnah is talking about a case where the borrower is not moda. The bar is not moda, and rather says there was never a shtar halva, and the shtar is made up, and that's why we don't give back the shtar, because it's not clear that the actual loan is substantiated from the two parties. So the Gemara says ihachi ki ein ben achrayas nechasim. Am I after? If that's the case, then why would it be that when there's no lien property, you give it back? Nihi delo gave min mishabde mi ben achari migabe gave. But when it comes to other lien, other property which is not lien, so you could still collect from that shtar. So Shmuel Tamei, Damer Shmuel Omer Hayy Rabbi Meir, Shtar Chov She'ein Bo Achrayas Nechasim Ein Gov Alom Mishabdu Lov Nechari. If the shtar doesn't have the allowance to collect from lien property, so then you're not allowed to even collect from free property.
So the real question is, you're only talking about free real property. I mean, in American law, even though
real you estate.
Can mortgage or lien something, if I get a judgment against somebody else, I can attach whatever property there is to pay the whatever.
Meaning against their will?
Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, I think most people want to just try to get it from more liquid sources.
Correct. Right.
Yes. But if someone doesn't have any, yes, you could attach a lien on to someone's home.
So it here, it's kind of like it's written in the document agreed between two parties.
You can't do it. You can't do it at all.
You cannot collect from anything.
From anything, says Shmuel.
I don't know how you do collect. Only liquid property? I don't know.
Only money.
Yeah, right. And if, wait a second, if they can't collect, then why are we giving back the document? He wanted the paper. He wanted to use it for
a bottle stopper.
Bottle stopper, yeah, something like that. Why don't we allow the lova to have it?
Is he serious?
Yeah. Okay. So Gemara says, Lova, hakamar lo hayu dvar meolim. The Lova doesn't get the document. He thinks the document never existed. So why are we giving it to the Lova? The Lova says, we never wrote this document. So we're going to give him a paper that he thinks never
Lova
existed.
So if the Lova says we never wrote this document, then the Lova, of course, wants it. Give it to me and I'll destroy it.
Uh-huh.
The Prem is giving it to the Malva.
Yeah, I guess he just doesn't have a claim to get it. Like, he's not believable to even earn the right to the piece of paper. I think that's what we're saying. Yeah, it's an interesting one.
If I was the buyer, if I was the lender on that fraudulent document, I'd say, gimme.
Right. Please, thank you. okay, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the Brera is. If the rules are the rules, he can't use that document anywhere else anyway, but...
Bottle stopper.
Yeah, right. Bottle stopper. Okay. Amar Rabbi Elazar, machlokas b'she'en chayiv moda. Rabbi Elazar says that the machlokas of Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, whether or not you give back the shtar, specifically a shtar she'en bo achrayas, Rabbi Meir says you can give it back. And the Rabbanan say no, you don't even give that back. Because we're worried that the basin's going to give it, the basin's going to collect from it. So Rabbi Elazar says that that machlokas only takes place when ein chayav moda, when the lender, when the borrower never admits that it's a good shtar and claims that it's a bad shtar. Because Rabbi Meir holds, you can never collect if there's no achrayas nechasim. Now, from Meshavdei v'lo min nechari, I thought, which Rabbi Meir are we talking about? Because Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah says you can give it back with no nechasim. No. Didn't Rabbi Meir say yesterday in the Mishnah that you can give it back? And here we're saying that he holds,
if they contain no mortgage clause, one shall return them because the court will not enforce payment on the strength of them.
Oh, there's missing a line. You have to read in front of, in between the lines here. What it's saying here is you do not collect from it, and the reason we give it back is because you can use it for the bottle stopper or whatever. All right. You have, is it bottle? Slochis is a bottle? What? Is that what you said? Did you say slochitz is a bottle?
That's the way it's translated.
I thought it was something else. It's bottle? Okay. I might be getting confused with salachat, which is very different today. Okay, Rabbanan Savri, mi mishabdi hu delo gavi, mi b'nei achari mi gavi gavi. The Rabbanan believe that you can collect from mishabdin, nechaz mishubadim, or you can't collect from the Chasim Mishpatim because it's not written in the Shtar, but you could collect from the Chorin, and therefore, we should be worried about using the shtar. Avag shechayv moda, but when the borrower is moda to it, divriya kol yachzer v'lochashin l'peron l'knunia. Everyone agrees that you can give it back, and we're not worried about conspiracies, collusion. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, machlokas shechayv moda. Rabbi Yochanan says the machlokas of Rabbi Meir and Chachamim are is only when the borrower is admitting he owes it, but it's a real loan. So then, what's the breakdown? Rabbi Meir believes that you could use the shtar if it's not nechasim mishubadim, and therefore you're allowed to give it back. I guess because there's no concern of the third party, right? That's what we were saying before, that maybe it's misdated and therefore the lender is going to collect from a third party that bought land from the borrower, but that's not going to happen here because it doesn't have a nechasim mishubadim clause in it. So therefore, we're not worried about that anyway. V'rabbanan savri, and the Rabbanan believe, mishavdi na'am igabe, that Rabbanan believe that even a shtar, which doesn't have Shib Nechasim, you can collect from Shib Nechasim? We have not yet seen that argument, I don't think. But that's on tomorrow's daf. Apparently we're going to talk about Achrayas Tos Sofer. Then maybe the writer of the shtar kind of put it in there without, you know, the forethought of whether it should be there. I don't know how we can claim such a thing, but or he didn't put it in there when he should have put it in there. Avak she'en chayav moda, when the lova doesn't agree, divri hakol lo yachzer dechashin l'parayon. If the lova is not agreeing, the borrower doesn't say, yes, I owe him the money, or yes, the shtar is a true shtar, so then we don't give it back because we worry that maybe it is a forgery. I wonder what he has to be moda about. Does he have to be moda about the shibud also? And that's why the Rabbanan are worried. Yeah, okay, I don't know. Tanakh Vasta Rabbi Yochanan, we have a breast that teaches like Rabbi Yochanan. That utiyufta Rabbi Elazar b'chada, utiyufta d'shmuel b'tarti. What's the case? The breast says, matza shtari cho v'yesh ben achrayis nechasim. Alpha pisha shnei modim, even if both the borrower and the lender, oh yeah, that's our shtar. We both agree it's a true shtar. Lo yachzer, lo lozev, lo lozev. I guess we're worried, first of all, maybe it was paid off. Then we're worried that there was some, and they were worried that there's some kind of collusion going on. Ein ben acharas tachasim, bizman shalov moda yachzer umave. If there's no shibud there, so when the borrower admits that it's a true shtar, so then you give it back to the lender. Ein halova moda, but if he doesn't agree, lo yachzer, lo lozev, lo lozev, you don't give it back at all. Divrei Rebbe Meir. That's according to Rebbe Meir. Okay. Shai Rebbe Meir Omer, shtarei sheyesh ben achrayis tachasim kol v'nechas mishubadim. That a loan document that has liens, that the lien property clause, you can collect from. I don't know what the havin is there, but it doesn't. He can collect from bnei chorin. Again, we have this concept of achrayas tos sofer, that maybe there was a mistake written in the shtar where it didn't write nechasim mishubadim in there, even though it should have. How is that a rejection of the previous opinions that we saw? So Tiyuf the Rebbe Elazar b'chada the Amar the Rebbe Meir, it's a rejection of Rebbe Elazar in one way, because Rebbe Elazar said the Rebbe Meir shtar she'en bo achrayas nechasim ein agovim nechasim mishubadim v'lo nechasim nechorin. The Rebbe Meir is of the opinion that you can't collect any property if it doesn't have a shtar, if it doesn't have shibud karkos in it. If there's no lien property clause that you can collect from other properties, so then you can't even collect from free properties. What was the logic there? You said only liquid money. What was the logic? I don't remember the logic why we wouldn't believe it at all if it didn't have a Shiba Karkos clause. The Ka'amar, and here, Bein L'Rabbi Meir, Bein L'Rabbanan, Lo Chashin L'Knunya. And the fact that he says it applies equally to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Banan, so then we understand it's not, we're not worried about collusion in that case. Shtar she'en b'achrayas nechasim, a shtar without that lien property clause, mishmi mishavdi hudalogavi, hamibne charin migvagabi. The implication of the price is to say this explicitly. Yeah, it says v'she'en b'ham achrayas nechasim govim mechasim necharin. It says that. And which is against Uketani, Ben Rav Meir, Ben Rav Banan, Chashin L'Knunia. Tiketani, Av HaPish Shnei Modim, Lo Yachzer, Lo Lozev, Lo Lozev. So therefore, it's against Rabbi Elazar, who's of the opinion that we're not worried about that. Alma, Chashin L'Knunia. And clearly the Brisa is saying that we do worry about that. Right, so simply Rabbi Elazar says we're worried about collusion. Sorry, Rabbi Elazar says we're not worried about collusion because you can't collect on this anyway. And the but you could collect sort of the we're worried about collusion. I guess those are two separate cases. When we're talking about what case of Yeshi would hush him in the collusion case. Right? The collusion case can only be a concern if there's Shiba Nechasim. I don't think we've said yet that we're worried about collusion without Shiba Nechasim, because then what's the collusion? What are they going to do? They can't go to the third party and get money from them. Yeah, okay. So, Sezmar, wait a second. You just said two things. I thought you said that the Tiyufta of Rabbi Elazar was only the Chada. And then you said that there are two issues. Number one, that you cannot collect, according to Rabbi Elazar, you can't collect at all. And the Brisa says you could collect from the Chasim Shein Mishubadim. So therefore, those are two things. V'ha hani tartihu. Right? Can you collect from B'nei Chorin in a case of non-Nechas Mishubadim? And secondly, about the collusion. Those are two things. So Gemara says, who? Chadahu to Chad Tamhu. It's really the same thing. D'mishum d'kam Rabbi Elazar machlokas b'she'ein chayiv moda humetar tachi. Because Rabbi Elazar says that there's a machlokas Rabbi Meir and Chachamim in a case where the loav of the borrower is not admitting it, but says rather it's a forgery, then he's forced into the collusion case also. Or then he's forced into saying that it must be a case that you can't collect anything. Something like that. That part's a little weird. Because that really is two separate things, but maybe because of sort of the he's in a corner, so he's giving a different explanation, that's still a separate thing. Anyways. Okay. And Tiyufta de Shmuel de Tarti. And there's a disagreement. We reject Shmuel in two ways. Chada Krebi Elazar. Number one, just like we said by Rabbi Elazar, that also applies to Shmuel. The Hamoki Masnis Nibishain Chayv Moda, because Shmuel believes that this whole case is when it's not being confessed, it's not being admitted to by the borrower. And the Braisa says there's a machlokas, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. When there's Ein Bo Achrayas Nechasim. Mm-hmm. of that case. Rabbi Elazar, according to Shmuel, he says it was. That was Shmuel. I guess Shmuel was earlier. I think Shmuel had said, we're not worried about collusion, we're not worried about it being paid off. I can't find Shmuel right now. Okay, I'm not sure, but so Chadik Rabbi Elazar, Dahamok Masisin Bishain Chayv Moda, Vechada, the other Tiyufta, is Damar Shmuel Matashtar Hakna Bashuk Yachsar Lbalim, Lochashin Lipirayon. Right, we said we're that Shmuel is not worried about it being paid off already. Tiyufta Tikhtani Hacha, here we are worried. Afa Bishashem Modim, Lo Yachsar Lolozeb Lolozeb. Even if both of them agree, we're not going to give it back to either one. Alma chashin lebrion, which clearly means that we are worried about it, even though they both agree that it's a good shtar. And v'kol shekin hachad lamo delove, all the more so in the case where the borrower disagrees to chashin leperayon, where you should be worried about it being paid off, and yet Shmuel holds that you could give it back because we aren't worried about perayon. Okay, so in the end of the day, both Rabbi Elazar and Shmuel are rejected based on this brisa. All right, pretty complicated keeping all those different opinions all together. I don't think I did so, but we got the general concepts in there about when are we concerned for collusion, when aren't we concerned? Okay. Shalom, Rez Hashem. Continue tomorrow.